bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Welcome back to The Bottom Line. You've got us on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Chris Sneed, Ben Poorman behind the glass taking care of us. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that. Welcome there. Texas Rangers and Houston Astros both in action starting road series tonight. Both in the Northeast. The Astros right here on The Score. 8 o'clock, but that game will be underway by then following the high school fan zone at Boston. Tonight's high school fan zone coaches from Coronado at 7, Estacado at 7:30 with Garrett Luft here in the First United Bank studio. The Rangers will be at 5:30 after a 2.5 hour tech talk. They'll lead you all the way up to it. They'll go against the Mets there in New York. And the Rangers, once again, Sneed, finding ways to lose. And keep on saying, just a series here, just a series there. Well, now it's been a lot of games, mostly in a row. Do get a win there on Saturday against Minnesota. But after yesterday's loss, you and Houston are tied. And if we'd said this, you know, go back a month ago and say, hey, in a month, you and the Astros will be tied. You go, oh, well, you'll be tied for first. Well, not only are you tied, you're a game and a half back from Seattle, who is already playing lights out, especially offensively, but also has a pretty generous schedule in front of them. And part of that has not helped, right? Because you're playing like the Royals and the White Sox. Now you look ahead, and you also have the Mets if you're the Mariners. And up next, you have the A's, yeah. And you have them a couple of times. And so now, boy, you get 7 games late against the Mariners, and
yeah,
that's going to mean a
but
lot.
But here's the thing. You're going to go through highs and lows through a season.
Sure.
And it's how you react to them. The Rangers, this is the longest losing streak that they had. Well, they've lost 9 of 10. But this is the worst stretch that they've had. They're going to bounce back. They're going to get it going again. They're going to get – I mean, they've had that happen many times. Of all the ups and downs they've had this year – this is the first time they've fallen out of first place mm-hmm. since the first day of the season. So, do I think they'll get back and they'll stick around? Yeah, I'm not worried about it. I mean, you got to get right, got to get some confidence going. You got to feel like you can hit the ball again. I mean, because sometimes you get in these ruts and you feel like, oh, we're never going to get a hit again. Mm-hmm. We're never going to get anyone out of ever again. You know, sometimes a bear bites you. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of it. And Seattle's not going to win. There's 30-something games left. Seattle's not going to go 30-something and 0. They're sure. going to lose their fair share. And they're probably, because they're, you know, hot teams eventually cool off. Remember, it wasn't that long ago the Rangers were on fire, red hot. Mm-hmm. And then they flipped. Then they flipped a switch, and here they are. So, I mean, it's almost as if we as a fan base think, oh, my gosh, we can't get hot again. Well, and every team we're playing against is going to stay hot forever. Well, not really. I mean, the Astros, the last time the Rangers, you know, in this midst here, the Astros have gained how much on you? Not much. In fact, they're still in second place, but they're chasing somebody else now because they've been garbage just like us. We, them, Rangers.
I will say it's interesting, and this is total tip of the cap to Josh Jung. Now, he's not the make-or-break piece in this offense, but you look at part of when the offense has struggled, you can count it down to every single time one of the big hitters has been out. I mean, you struggled when Corey Seager was out twice this year. And so
– maybe struggled when Garcia was out for that short spell.
Yeah, and so, man, you could really, really – one, as the Rangers, use him right now, and that certainly hurts, but also it's just – you want to know how much you mean. I mean, you can already tell statistically, and you know the type of awards he had midseason and stuff as far as being an all-star starter as a rookie. But I think also you can point this to any of those guys that would be out, but to Josh Jung right now, you're certainly missing him in the lineup. But the rotation felt like maybe it had been calmed for a little bit in the bullpen arm section. Mm-hmm. But once again, I mean, just has really, really come back to bite.
Has Jordan Montgomery now had the bullpen just lay an egg for him two times in a row now?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he walks off the mound with a 1-0 lead in Arizona, and it gets yacked away. He hands the bullpen over a 5-0 lead yesterday, mm-hmm. wasn't it? Am I wrong? And it gets yacked away. Get the lead back, yacked away again. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh.
It's thanks for coming over. We're not going to help you at all.
No, he's getting more help than he was getting in St. Louis.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, we'll only give you slightly more help, but not a lot. Not to get like wins or anything like that. Just to frustrate you. Let's get in a play of the day, shall we?
Four-man rush. Standing. Rushed. Flushed out. Hit and flushed out. We're chasing. We're grabbing. We're sacking at the 40-yard line.
So Cowboys legend and recent Hall of Fame enshrinee DeMarcus Ware has been announced that he will be inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor.
Yep.
He will be joined with another fellow edge rusher to wear 94 during the Triplett days and Charles Haley.
Like it.
All right. Great play.
We got to interview Charles Haley on the morning drive, me and Gus.
Oh, really?
It was awesome because he was coming out for the Knights of Columbus kickoff. And so we talked to him, and it was great. And we started talking about Jim Kelly. He says, I love Jim Kelly. He got four loser rings. I was like, four loser rings, man.
Oh, man. Hey, speaking of the Cowboys, how about Will Greer? I know it's preseason. Don't get me wrong. But you talk about one of the weirder situations. Usually, if you're going to get cut, I mean, there's not that many situations you've been flat out told, hey, Will Greer, we're going to cut you, but we're going to let you start and let you show what you got, right? You got the entire final preseason game, and then just plays. Again, I know it's preseason, but still, like, that's a lot of weight for him, for other teams looking in. That is a full game of tape saying this is yours, and just played out of his mind.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of ironic that they traded for a guy that did that.
Oh, yeah, and Trey Lance in there.
College and did the same thing, you know, in college during COVID, so he could have that same experience.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, I'm kind of wondering, why are they – what are you trading for Trey Lance for?
You know, I don't – but here's where I don't get that move. Because it's not like, you gave up a fourth rounder for him. Which to me, I mean, who'd you get in the fourth round this year? Deuce Vaughn, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
picks are precious. Picks are precious, man.
That's not, I mean, it's not a first round pick. I get that. And you still have to make your money on those fourth round picks. I get that. But what did you see in Trey Lance that's like, hey, we'll bring him over and there's not going to have any consequences? You're about to have most likely another contract dispute with a quarterback, Dak Prescott, who I assume you want to keep. Is this a pressure move? Is this if you don't want to sign, we have Trey Lance.
I have a question. Why in the world are you about to have a contract dispute with Dak Prescott?
Because he's your franchise quarterback. And it's a quarterback and with a contract. It's going to be a contract dispute.
And he's your – and in the last time I checked, he's got – two playoff victories more than I do.
I'm not going to argue against you. I'm just being real with this is what you're heading for.
I'm just asking the question.
Yeah.
The last time we gave him everything he wanted, mm-hmm. you end up losing your best wide receiver.
Right.
You can't sign your running back. Not that you wanted to. But you can't because you're throwing good money after bad. And I'm kind of wondering, tell me again why we would do this? I would, maybe sniff, get close to an NFC mm-hmm. championship game. Maybe, because you damn sure hadn't been anywhere near one there, Dak.
If they go into the conference championship game again, and again, I think the NFC is incredibly weak this year. And I do think you have a good opportunity to do that. Not the Super Bowl. I don't think you're going to get through that final wave. But like that's if that happens, that's going to be used too. And again, I agree with you because I think you know what your ceiling is with Dak Prescott. And at this point in his career, you know who Dak Prescott is.
Hey, Dak,
I would
say this with Dak. Unless you're in a Super Bowl, man, don't even bother coming back to me with a contract offer.
But the problem is that's not how the Cowboys are going to handle that. That's not how Jerry Jones is going to handle that. Yeah,
that's dumb.
Yeah, we're go ahead and circle that on the date of a very frustrating contract negotiation. Kaylee's Daily is when we come back. 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
You've got the Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. It is a Viking Captain Sneedaroo Young Benjamin edition.
Young Benjamin?
Young Benjamin. Starting point. Yeah, speaking of, before we get to Kaylee's Dailies, yesterday you were called Sneedaroo and not given your full rank. And it made me so happy to go, hey, it's Captain Sneedaroo to you.
Tact. Because you're up, Sneedaroo, and I said, that's Captain Sneedaroo.
He has earned his ranking. You put some respect on Captain Sneedaroo.
Come on, man. If I'm gonna embrace it, man.
Yeah.
Embrace and defend. Give me the rank, man.
Yeah. All right, let's get some animal factage here on a Monday.
Clint.
Yes, sir.
Ben. It is College Colors Week.
Yeah.
Happy College Colors Week to all. College Colors Week is the week typically in the week in higher education the institutions begin their classes. So this week we'll focus on live animal mascots seen for these institutions and the history behind them. So today, Kaylee says, we will start with the Auburn University Tigers. Their famous war eagle. How about that?
There
are tigers. Do you know there's three tigers in the SEC?
Yeah, Missouri, LSU, and
Auburn. And only two of them actually go by. You know, they're like tigers. You get Auburn Tigers, LSU Tigers, Missouri Tigers. But then you go, it's the LSU Bayou Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Auburn Tigers, War Eagle. You know. So anyway.
Eventually, whenever the ACC disintegrates, you'll have four.
Yeah, when Clemson runs over there. It'll be all tigers all the time. Tigers taking over the world. There's all going to be tigers. How about that?
Tigers are endangered unless you're in the SEC. They're everywhere.
Exactly. And you know what? Actually, they actually do a thing with that. There's Missouri, LSU, and Auburn all have a official thing on that. It's actually a really cool thing. Although Auburn's official mascot is the tiger, they have the tradition of an eagle entering the stadium and flying around the stands before landing with a gloved handler on the field during pregame festivities. This is very cool. If you haven't seen it in person, it is very cool. Every time we take a rookie there, I take him out there to make sure they get to see it.
Mm-hmm.
It is said, you got to see this. This display began at Auburn versus Georgia in 1892, where it stands that there was a Civil War veterans. He brought an eagle with him to the game, his pet eagle. He found it on the battlefield. Witnesses say the eagle took off from the soldier and began to beautifully circle the field during the game. As the eagle continued to fly, Auburn started to take the lead in the game, scoring the winning touchdown in Georgia's end zone. This led to victorious cries from Auburn fans, "War Eagle!" Auburn utilizes rehabilitated eagles that have suffered injuries and rescued by the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Today's eagle's name is Orea.
Oh.
It's a golden eagle that was rescued from a wing injury in Selma, Alabama. Orea took over for a bald eagle named Spirit, who was also rescued and had flown for over 20 years. I got to see Spirit fly. I also got to see Orea fly. You'll see Orea fly last year against Missouri.
I have never connected that they use, like, That's cool that the way that they choose the eagle.
Awesome.
But I've never connected that they use like different species of eagles depending on.
I have seen both the golden eagle and the bald eagle in my tenure. So it is one of the coolest things there's things you got to go out there and see. Mm-hmm. When you're at LSU, you got to go out there when the Golden Girls come out there. You got to be there for that. Oof. you have to go see the War Eagle.
Yeah.
Coming into the stadium. That's one of those that you have to see. I mean, I don't care if we're in the locker and said, oh, War Eagle. Let's go see it.
And we're out there.
Yeah. And you just got to go see it.
It's cool. Do you remember there for a little bit, they had those bird trainers across the way in that little lot? Do you remember that when that was here? They just had like little fences and all the birds were trained, so they weren't like roosts or them. They had like birds, 20 birds over there. They're all just, birds of prey.
Yeah, birds will just go get it, man. And they'll come right back to their roost, man.
I never got to really go over there. I think Chuck went over there and talked him up a little bit. But I just remember driving by that first day, like on a Monday or whatever it was after they'd set up over across from the Civic Center, and almost breaking my neck as I was looking. I was like, there's an owl. There's a falcon. What else over there? There's so many birds and they're not grackles. I'm not used to this.
So it was a falcon. Was there a falconer?
That's what all of them were like. I don't know how many trainers were over there, but.
I am the falconer.
Have you ever seen videos? Golden eagles are crazy. Where they're like, take. Goats and stuff and just throw them off a cliff.
Golden eagles are mean.
Mean. Mean. They're rude individuals.
Yeah.
And scary. And larger than
bald eagles will reach down there and pluck a fish right out of the pond, man.
Oh man.
A fish flying up there and they'll
I don't know how to make it happen. I guess just put yourself in the best situation possible. Mm-hmm. That's like a dream scenario for me is to, one, because you're in probably a beautiful area for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you're out there fishing, right? Relaxing, casting, and then just like out of nowhere, an eagle dives down in the water and you watch it take off a fish and you're like, that was incredible. That was so cool. I don't know how, that's like a, I don't know. I don't know how to make that happen, but that's like a pipe dream. One day it's going to happen. This, on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, missing Evaldi too, which I think he's scheduled to throw a bullpen session again.
Yeah.
So hopefully soon. Mr. Official, on a potential pass interference, call what determines a ball uncatchable or not.
Was it thrown into the stands?
Because that's subjective,
giggly.
Right?
I sound facetious on that, but that's really literally the standard at our level in Division I. Oh, uncatchable needs to be several rows into the seats, several feet off the sideline, so thrown so high that it would hit the top of the upright. Mm-hmm. Because if you've ever seen these athletes today, I mean, they can cover some ground. And so if they're running straight down the field and the ball's overthrown, give that guy three more steps and he'll probably get to it. Uncatchable is that means literally someone in the stand is going to catch it.
And that gets yelled a lot. Like, you get a guy tackling, the ball lands 10 yards
that's
down.
Uncatchable.
That's uncatchable.
No, it's not. Well, see, that's the problem, because many years ago, uncatchable was a bailout. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a ball would be a couple of feet over a guy's head. The official wouldn't pull the trigger, and he would just throw his hand over and said, uncatchable. And I was like, okay. And so it trickled down from the NFL, you know, and it's getting down to high school now. Uncatchable literally means in the stands.
And I've always hated fans are going to fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a part of that too. But that's always been one of those constant annoyances, right? Like, how about your cornerback or safety just doesn't tackle a guy, right?
Well, when he's not supposed to. There's some differences to that, because one of the new philosophies this year is, they're making some clarification about pass interference with the defense on a underthrown pass, where the defender is doing what he's supposed to, but the pass is underthrown, which causes the receiver to come back to the ball and get into the contact with the defender. And so our new philosophy and standard this year is, don't let a bad pass put you into a bad flag.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful, and you'll see that a lot. It was that one where the defender's doing what he's supposed to be doing, but the receiver is coming back to an underthrown ball, and he's got his hands there, and he's got the defender up in his chest, and he's coming back to the ball.
And all of a sudden he's going for an
awkward
junior high
hug. And they're throwing a flag, and they're saying, that's pass interference. On who?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the key because the defender has the right to that space as well.
Mine is the one I'm talking about is the one that is overthrown, but your guy just still tackles him, and then you're yelling it's uncatchable. It's like, well, still, how about you just don't put yourself in that situation as a defender, right?
I always say that. How about my favorite philosophy line to give to groups when I go talk to football teams, and we get asked to do that quite a bit, I say, don't put me in a position to make a judgment about your actions. Mm-hmm. So that's more along the unsportsmanlike conduct stuff. You know, it's like, you know, why would you flag that guy for that? Because he stood over that guy and he called him a blankety blank. You can't do that?
What? This on the chat line, casual tips, horse name. Well done. That'll do it for casual tips. Our number one. We'll welcome in Flip-Flop. Josh Papa, when we come back. Sneed, have a good rest of your Monday, man.
I'm going to try.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. I was told legally we have to wait for the hook before we can talk so we can get to... MJ.
The great hook.
Not credited, Michael Jackson. Clint Scott, Josh Poppel, Ben Foreman. It is the Bottom Line, 100.7 The Score, and 107thescore.com. Now, this is the sounder as we've went to the future and have seen select records be finalized. We're going to give you 10 of them from the Big 12, who we expect to be most likely the 10 best teams. Mm. Now, the one we are unveiling for you today, the Baylor Bears, Waco's favorite. Wonder how many Blake Shapen jerseys Woodman owns. He's a big Baylor fan. I don't know if you knew this.
Okay, no, I know this.
The rest of us do. I don't know if you know
okay,
that, Josh.
No, I don't. It's like, wait.
We so far have told you Oklahoma will go 10-2. Oklahoma State will be 8-4. Kansas State will be 10-2. Kansas will be 6-6, as will TCU.
What intervals are we doing this in? Like, I remember the last time I was on, we picked, I can't remember what school it was. Oklahoma, right? Are we doing it every week? Are we doing it every day?
Leading up.
Okay.
Leading up to, of course, we'll end with Texas Tech and let you know exactly how their season will go on Friday.
Makes sense.
Yeah. The Bears went 6-7 last season, lost to Air Force in the Armed Forces Bowl. Head coach Dave Aranda is in year four at the helm. Of course, he took over in 2020. They won two games, then won the Big 12 Championship 2 years ago to the 6-7 record from last year. They bring in a transfer class of 13, two specifically on the offensive line, where they've said goodbye to four offensive linemen, and then some pieces on defense that struggled at times last season. That's where some of those transfers will help piece over. They also will be breaking in a new defensive coordinator, Matt Powledge. The biggest returning pieces, Blake Shapen, Richard Reese. They also added Dominic Richardson in the backfield as well from Oklahoma State. I think this team will either be boosted by better play this year from Blake Shapen, or it will be exactly the same. And he was average at best for the entirety of last year. They brought in Sawyer Robertson, of course, Cornell fans and LISD and just the area. Yeah, has been, gets excited. They brought him into battle, still goes to shape, and though I'm not, not in over there, I don't know if that was an actual battle or just something, hey, this is a battle, but to make you play better. I hope it was. Maybe we'll see a change there midway. Biggest loss, lose a bunch of the secondary, lose a bunch of that offensive lineman. And, of course, their lone draft pick, I always get his name wrong. Ika?
It's something.
Big nose tackle there. They were picked to finish sixth in the preseason media poll. Richard Reese, now a sophomore, was the lone all Big 12 preseason pick. So, all that being said, how are we feeling about the Bears this year?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's about it. That's about the most I could say. Okay. I think I'm with you on there. I'm leaning more towards exactly the same than like improved play. Like if they get better, it will be improved play. I agree with you on that take, but I lean more towards barely better.
You knew as soon as you said it.
Yeah.
You knew what you were doing. All right, let's go right into these games, shall we? Okay, first up, they'll play Texas State. I'm guessing win across the board here.
Win across the board.
Yeah. Next one, they will have a ranked matchup at home against Utah, future Big 12 foe. Josh, how are we feeling against the Utes?
I'll say let's give them an early loss.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't thought about this at all before, so that's why perfect. I'm like thinking about it.
Well, you don't have
it,
to think about it because
yeah.
we've already seen what happens.
Right? Yes, exactly.
Ben, is this a win or a loss for the Bears?
Utah has been in the top 10 these past few years, so I'll give the Bears their first L.
Yeah, I think there's a few losses headed early on in their season. And this is one that's a really good Utah team. That's a really tough Utah team. Even though it's at home, I think this is a loss as well. Then they'll face Long Island. Wins here, or a win here for Long Island, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Don't want to, you know, disrespect Long Island, but, you know, time restraints.
We want to at least stop. To.
Then they will start their conference season off at home against the Longhorns. Welcome to Big 12 play.
Yeah, I have. This is probably where that barely, like, not greatly better kind of comes into play, and I have them losing to Texas.
Yeah, I think Xavier Worthy's going to have a field day. He'll pick apart that secondary and give the Bears their first conference L.
Yeah, I think this is just out talented everywhere for the Longhorns. So, yeah, win for Texas, loss for the Bears. Then they go to UCF. And this should be, UCF's first conference home game. They'll have played Kansas State in Manhattan to kick off Big 12 play. But now this is over in Florida. Ben, I'll let you go first. Is this a win or a loss for the Bears?
I would say a loss.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Josh?
I'll give them a win against UCF.
So I am the tiebreaker. I agree with Ben. I think this is a loss on the road, and I think this is one of those games where I probably lean towards the home team, although I still wouldn't feel great about it for the Bears. I think that this is going to be not a huge win for UCF, but I think it'll be their first Big 12 win of the year or of their little Big 12 lives. How about that? So a loss on the board for Baylor. Then at home against Texas Tech, and clearly, Texas Tech looking for a little bit of revenge this year.
Absolutely.
Because all of those things I said negative about Baylor, you couldn't have seen that when they were here in Lubbock last year. I think this is a loss at home for Baylor, so I will offer that up first, and now we'll give the floor to you, Josh.
Well, Tech is going undefeated, so I have to say that, you know, Baylor's going to lose to Texas Tech.
Okay, David Thetford, take it easy. That's a good game.
Since I'm only on here for spots during the week, I get to make the most outlandish picks I want
and just walk away.
Yeah, but
I don't think that's outlandish.
No, I do think they're gonna. I do think they're gonna lose the Tech.
Me too.
All right, there's another loss, and so far, 2-6. So they got for a bowl game, bowl lives, a little bit of work to do. Then they'll go to Cincinnati. I think this is a win for Baylor. I don't think Cincinnati's gonna be good. I think that'll be a bottom two team in the conference.
Me too. So
I have a win for the Bears.
Me too. It's a win.
I don't know anything about Cincinnati football, if I'm very honest. So I'll honestly follow the pack on this one, and I'll pick a win.
You know, you saying that, like, I think there's a lot of people in that boat. Like, who is Cincinnati this year? Scott Satterfield's, like, probably the least exciting coach in the Big 12. I think it should be a very, let's call it a bland performance of Cincinnati in year one. Then they'll be at home against Iowa State. Win or a loss?
I don't predict Iowa State to do much better than they did last season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pick them as a win against Iowa State.
Lose to the bottom pack of the Big 12? Are you kidding? It's a win.
I think that this game could still be ugly. But, yeah, it's a win. I mean, I'll call it as a sweep across the board. But this is the stretch that if you're Baylor, you may be trying to catch a breath after UT, UCF, and Tech, because then you go Cincinnati, Iowa State, and then at home against Houston. mm-hmm. which I think this is three straight wins for Baylor here.
I agree. Oh, well, I don't remember what I picked the last two, but I agree that this is going to be a win against Houston.
Me too.
All right, there's another win. So bouncing back a little bit are the Bears. What do they get as a prize? They get to go to Manhattan and go take on the Wildcats. Win or a loss for the Bears on the road?
A loss for the Bears.
Straight up loss.
Yep, I think there's another loss. Oh, what's that? You want a second team in purple on the road? Well, go to TCU.
I don't know how sound this is, like, statistically and according to the roster, but I've picked a lot of wins in a row, and I don't feel good about that, so I'm going to pick this as – oh, wait. I picked them as a loss, didn't I? Okay, lost TCU.
So TCU lost way too many people. I'll give the Bears the benefit of the doubt on this one and give them a win.
I think a big problem, and we'll get this last one real quick, I think Baylor's going to have an identity crisis. I think this is a loss at TCU. And then at home real quick
win.
Against West Virginia.
I have a win against West Virginia.
Win.
Yep, I have this as a win as well. So there you go. They just barely, and they're thanking Texas State and Long Island, make a bowl game. Do the Bears another 6-6 prediction from the bottom line. Of course, it's going to go exactly how we told you it would.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Soothsayers over here.
Bringing you the truth or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It is the Bottom Line 100.7 The Score from 7thescore.com. Clint Scott, Josh Popple, Ben Porn. You know, some people have said you're a little bit country, and I'm a little bit rock and roll. I'm just kidding. Discussing pizza philosophies in the break because it just never stops.
That's a true story, by the way. We actually were talking about pizza almost the entire time.
You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We get this from Sooner in Lubbock. Didn't Wyoming's quarterback break a rushing record in a bowl game? If it's the one they have now, at least with my short little tracking of his career, it was not last year. And he was not the starter the year before.
Hmm.
But he did throw, he went 10 touchdowns and 9 interceptions last year. And as a team, they went 12 interceptions and 11 passing touchdowns. It's a running team. It's a running team is what I'm saying.
We had a similar question to the end of the bench boys in a in-between segment that is up actually now on YouTube. And they mentioned sort of the philosophy when it comes to like offense, defense, that yes, they're a running team. But not only that, they kind of sell out to stop the run. Mm-hmm. So,
Anyway, that's where like that unit that's come back as far as the experience game, like their linebackers are where they make their money at. And they were a young secondary, and that's a known as a defensive team, philosophy wise. So it'll be an interesting test. But again, you're just flat out like you. I don't think it's cocky or arrogant for me to say that you are and you should be just flat out better than them.
Do you? I'm not going to hold you to this in any sort of way, but do you expect Tyler Shuck to have like more than 50 yards rushing, you know, on like design runs?
No, I don't think there's a set marker for him, right? Because we all know they can. And we know he can scramble. And that was something that was, I don't know, it was a positive from his 4 games back.
Which was surprising.
When he came back. And you could, like, whenever he was back at Oregon, a lot of the highlights you saw from him his freshman year there was him making plays with his legs, so you knew that was a part of his game. But he has the quote-unquote NFL build and the quote-unquote NFL arm and the quote-unquote the intangibles, all of that, right? The thing that I liked about Tyler Shuck when he came back last year is you finally saw Tyler Shuck with an edge, and whether that was, I mean, just the way he talked to the way he carried himself to the way that he played. Now, I get that there's a part of that where people are starting to wince, right? Because when you think of playing with an edge, you think of what, like laying it out on the field and putting your shoulder down as a quarterback. And this is a guy coming off back-to-back injuries. And I get that. I know you still would like him maybe to be a little bit smarter with that. But at the same time, the injury last year, it wasn't like a contact injury. It was a freak deal. It just happened to be in back-to-back years, right? And so you can't box in what makes him a threat or an extra threat, right? That would be the opposite of what you would want to do. You'd want him to have all the assets he has in his game available to him and not hold him back or some sort of leash in this.
I'm just more speaking.
But sorry, it was a random way to answer your question. I don't know if there's a set number.
Yeah, no, I'm speaking more out of curiosity. Like, mm-hmm. Given that Wyoming is probably that kind of team that like kind of sells out to their returning linebackers, stop the run philosophy kind of stuff. Like, would you expect Tech to more so just like try to force them to stop the pass more so than
and you're going to be that kind of thing. That's going to be a strength of yours anyways, right? I mean, that's why what Kittley's offense is. That's why you're so excited about the depth of the wide receiver room. I am curious, though, if something's not working, just for the sake of seeing it, you don't want them to call just like, we're going to prove to you how good this offensive line is.
Yeah,
and even though you want to sell out, we're going to move you and we're going to get Taj Brooks the ball, right?
Yeah.
Just to get Taj Brooks the ball. If it's not working, it's not working.
Yeah.
Right? That's going to be something we'll find out in week one. But I am curious with a team that's still, again, it's not like an elite run defense, right? It's just that's what they're good at.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Knowing that, can you still run the ball against them when you have the opportunity, right? I think you're going to, if I'm being flat out honest, I think in the long run you're going to throw it all over the field, or at least I hope you do. Like if Tyler Shuck's on, I think you're going to have that capability.
Yeah.
And you could see a lot of a bunch of targets end up in the box score.
Sure.
But again, we'll find out. As far as the set number for rushing, I don't think that's there. I think it's if he gets them, he gets them.
Yeah.
In the flow of the game. If you're calling it towards him because he's got that alley, or if he's pulling, if they're just sitting back there and bringing everybody back in coverage and he sees green and he's taking it.
It's more so because it's there.
That's what I think will happen with him. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. The wife and I are heading up to Kansas City for the big NFL opener. Awesome.
Very cool.
Awesome. It's going to be a fun one there against the old Lions. That's a interesting team this year. Can they do it? Can old Campbell and the Lions make it into the playoffs? Tough
that opener. That is interesting. I think Vikings are I probably have the Vikings sitting atop the NFC North, and it's the Lions and the Packers I kind of have level as to what I don't know. I don't know much about the talent on the Lions other than, mm-hmm. The offense and stuff, but I kind of see them leveling out about the same.
I think regular season Vikings, and then I have underneath them probably on the same. I don't know. I might have the Packers a little lower than the Lions, and then the Bears and the Bears.
Yeah,
at the bottom. Yeah. I do not believe in the quarterback situation with the Bears. I don't see. I don't think the progression will be there with Justin Fields. Who knows? A lot of people are high on him last year or this year. I mean, heck, he's got like early MVP odds, and they're not great, but MVP odds, which I think is ridiculous. But
congrats on going to the game. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be a good time. Great environment.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel something approximately 260 pounds in a bag, don't open it. It's not me hiding to go to the game as well.
Maybe throw some.
How much is the carry
chicken on? Wings in there.
Yeah, you got to feed the animal if you're going to take it with you. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Please explain the phrase to me, to be honest. Are you not honest?
No.
Is this just an emphasis of your honesty?
No, we're show hosts. We're constantly lying. That's not true.
That's not true.
It's just kind of force of habit, you know?
To be honest. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Steven. A cat-sized mosquito. I hate that.
Oh, that's
the
awful.
Worst. That's the if you would flip that question,
how hard
that's
would
awful.
That, how hard would that be to kill? I don't know, and I'm terrified now.
Well, you know, it's still a bug, so I bet you could still squish it. It just, you got to have a big boot or a bat or a flamethrower.
I hate this.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I hate thinking about this.
I remember thinking my first dose of, you know, everyone's like, oh, that mosquito could carry off a small child. It's true in Texas.
And yeah,
and when probably I first, the more south you go, it's even more true.
When I first came to West Texas from El Paso, the mosquitoes are not big. And I was wearing jeans when I was moving into undergrad. Mm-hmm. And I felt myself being bitten through my jeans. And then I saw the mosquito fly off. I was like, what is happening?
Yeah, I wore my first spring, I wore chainmail, and they were still getting through that. It was like you could see the sparks flying.
That's why you gotta wear the padding underneath. You can't just go with the chainmail.
I make clothes out of mosquito nets in the spring. There are small cat-sized spiders in Laos.
Whoa.
Disgusting. Speaking of flames and fire. Yeah, the old hairspray and lighter.
That's what the fire and the flames was about.
Through the fire and flames. How about a polar bear or a butterfly the size of a cat?
Oh, yeah.
I'm in. Because again, with the polar bear, they're just a baby, little baby bear their whole life.
And with the butterfly, I think of Pokemon. They say butterfly, or did that just come to mind?
Yeah, they said butterfly.
Okay, cool.
No, okay. One tell them. No, you're just in your own world over there, dude. It is the bottom line, 100.7, the score. Most interesting fact of the day when we come back.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7, the score.
It's time for the most interesting fact of the day, brought to you by Dosakis. One more here on the bottom line. You've got us on 100.7, the score. And 107thescore.com. Clint Scott, Josh Voppel, Ben Poorman. Also means one more to hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, all of that welcome there. Coverage tonight, Rangers at Mets at 5:30 over on Double T 97.3. 7 o'clock here on 100.7 The Score. It is the High School Fan Zone. Coaches from Coronado and Estacado tonight with Garrett Luft, lefty, here in the First United Bank studio. 8 o'clock. Join in progress as the Astros start a road series at the Red Sox. Both the Astros and Rangers are now tied in the AL West, but both are a game behind the Seattle Mariners. The All Mariners have come on quite strong. Should be an interesting race over the next month. Josh.
Yes.
Did you know? One, do you know what Dr. Phil's last name is?
No, I don't.
That's part of it. No. They just tried to breeze past this, but I was like, I didn't know that.
I want to say I've heard it before, but no, I don't think I do.
Think of country music. That's my only guess.
Is it like Shelton or something like that? Like,
that's a good guess, but not it. You know, Ben?
McGraw.
It's Dr. Phil McGraw.
Wow.
Yeah. He spent part of his honeymoon with Bob Barker.
Okay. R&P.
Phil and his wife, Robin, were in the audience for an episode of The Price is Right back in 1976, and they were on their honeymoon.
Cool. Which game show would you be on for your honeymoon? Your second honeymoon, I guess.
Yeah, second honeymoon. Well, just say an anniversary trip.
Cool.
Yeah.
No game show.
I'm not looking to have
avoid
anymore.
The question. Yeah. Go ahead.
I think I would want to be on Wheel of Fortune.
Cool.
Yeah. I think I would be pretty good at it until the last, if you won the last one, I think I might.
Well, I meant like, which one would you want to be like in the audience for? He was just in the audience, right?
Oh.
Yeah, so which would you be in the audience for?
Oh.
I'd like to be in the audience for Whose Line Is It Anyway?
That's not a game show, though.
It's game show-esque.
It's not a game show.
All right, whatever.
You don't win anything.
The points don't matter.
It's
not a game show.
Famously, the points don't matter.
It's an improv show. It's not a game show.
Well, okay.
What NFL game would you want to go to? I want to go watch the Seattle Kraken take on the Pittsburgh Penguins.
All right.
It's hockey.
Okay.
It's not even the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
But Fair I enough. Would love to go to.
Fair point.
I don't know why that upset me. It's not a game show.
Clearly.
Get your game show facts right, dude.
All right. I'm not married. This doesn't apply to me.
It doesn't have to be a honeymoon trip or...
My question was honeymoon
okay,
trip.
Whatever. You know what?
Right.
Well, if I'm going to be in the crowd for a game show,
sure,
probably goes back to The Price is Right because it's the only one like you can yell.
Like, okay.
200! 1,000! You don't, not really yelling
I like
letters.
Voices too.
I like the Wheel of Fortune.
I'm interrupting your most interesting facts.
Well, that was the first one. did you know that Graham Nash wrote Just a Song Before I Go when his pot dealer in Hawaii was taking him to the airport and said, quote, I bet you can't write a song before you go. It took Nash 15 minutes to finish it.
I did not know that.
That's incredible. It's incredible. Let's get you one more. How about that? Did you know, Josh, that the U.S. military supported the movie Independence Day and even offered military costumes and props until the film refused to eliminate mentions of Area 51? Then they withdrew all its support.
Yikes. I did not know that.
The truth is out there, people. That was beautiful. That was really good.
I don't know why the synths are what I chose to go for first instead of the...
Of all the... Of all the parts of that.
I know.
That was really good. This from Bullfighter, Take versus Take isn't a game show either. It's not just a game show. It's the fastest growing game show in the world.
And you probably can't prove otherwise.
Only I have the numbers. This on the chat line, as far as killing a now cat-sized mosquito, because apparently that's where we've gone. Yeah, with a four-inch spike on its face. Oh no, that would be the mosquito.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hate that we're talking about this.
How about this to help? Steven said, "Mom used Aquanet. Works great with a lighter. Not that I would know. No one believes you."
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. There's that movie where like the bees are gigantic, or no, they're not gigantic. It's just a lot of bees apparently, and they use like a tire sealant to kill them, or maybe it's just soap. It's like soapy water.
What movie? Like the bees are the...
It's like a sci-fi movie. Like, you know, Sci-Fi Network movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of those like Sharknado like a, kind of things.
Yeah.
Those kinds of...
B-side movie?
Yeah.
Those are great. They used to have a lot better ones. And I know they have the Sharknado ones, whatever. But this is like when the history... I'm going to sound real old, but I don't care. Like Animal Planet was animal shows.
Yeah.
Right?
And when History Channel was history shows.
It's not a complaint. It's just a marker in time with how you can remember this was.
It's like when people say MTV used to.
And at that time, the Sci-Fi Channel was like legitimately, who made this movie?
Yeah.
Who are these actors?
Yeah.
Where are they coming from?
Fully.
Why am I awake at 3 a.m? Like all of these questions. Yeah. What are werewolf soldiers? Where did they come up with this?
Mm-hmm.
How much was the budget? How did this come to be type movies? And they were, I watched a bunch of them.
You know, if it wasn't Alfred Hitchcock, if you just changed the name to almost literally any other director and you, what is it called? Birds or Birds of Prey or something like his movie.
The Birds.
Yeah, The Birds. If you take that movie exactly as is and like you... put it like today or maybe like mid-90s, it would be on the Sci-Fi Channel. If you just change the name.
Or a movie about vertigo. Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I haven't thought of that's it's hard for me because like obviously I wasn't alive when The Birds came out.
Yeah.
Right? So it's always been a silly concept to me. And it's one of those as just a little stupid kid. Like why we're seeing it, like, why is this scary? Like, they don't even look like real birds. It's like, that's like a hand puppet they have out there, essentially, for a bird. It's like they put a sock and a beak, and they're just, wah, 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 and they're killing people. And it's like, okay, well, I guess at that time, then it was like, you know, it was a different time when it came out, so of course you would have been scared then. And I just still have a hard time going, like, I don't think I really would. Like, I don't think I would have walked out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had the Jaws effect, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been looking in swimming pools for sharks type of thing. Like, I wouldn't have been walking out and I'm like, where are the birds?
You know what that movie...
Everyone run to your cars.
You know what that movie was supposed to be for us? It was supposed to be Eight-Legged Freaks. Eight-Legged Freaks was supposed to be like that kind of movie for our generation, I think. Because you remember that.
Okay, so then my point stands... Like, I wasn't expecting to walk outside... or
and see
wherever,
just like gigantic,
and just see the biggest the spiders we were talking about.
Also, I think they were tarantulas, which tarantulas are a bad,
but they had
get webs. Because they what
they were, but they made webs.
Oh, spider webs. Oh, you're right. So probably not.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Didn't they have like ice spiders too? Spiders was a weird little. Speaking of that sci-fi genre. Spiders were an interesting pocket of movies where
there was a few of them.
Everyone's going to make giant spiders.
It's like zombies for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The creature movie before creature movies.
Mm-hmm. They never got...
But again, like I never was worried that like, it wasn't the same thing. It wasn't the Jaws effect that I was going to run across this 50-pound spider, or I guess probably better put, it was going to run across me and then roll me up.
Yeah.
Just kind of... Ugh. Why that person is a bad person. I don't know. I couldn't tell you the director or the writer of it. That's why I had to say that person.
Sure. Yeah.
this on the Exploring Center chat line from Viva 73. Thanks to Raymar for the tickets to the tailgate party at Knights of Columbus on Saturday night. Really appreciate it. I got them off the bench warmers and my wife and I had a great time.
Good stuff.
Good. I'm glad you got to go. Yeah. Awesome. Glad that worked out. Another one in the books.
Have you seen Citizen Kane?
This is personal curiosity. I've actually never seen Citizen Kane.
Yeah, nobody has. All right. Anyway.
Was that just a... Am I just a part of a survey?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's supposedly the greatest movie of all time, and I have never met anybody who's seen it.
Hmm.
Anybody.
All right. Well, I guess homework for you?
Sure.
Sure. If you're going to talk about ice spiders, you got to watch Citizen Kane. That's the rule or whatever.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.